afternoon. Yes. And for the first time in the 2 years that we've been doing this podcast, your faithful hosts are all in the same room.
Yes. Yes.
It only took 2 years because my stupid ass lives in Tennessee. And if you haven't figured it out yet, this is Caitlin. And God help us all because I'm leading the ship today. And with me in their home state of Minnesota is Jesse.
Oh, hi.
And Brody.
Oh, hey there.
How's it going, guys? It's
wonderful. Great.
Are you, like, as mind-blown that I am that we're all real people?
Yeah.
Yes. It was. we're all in the same room together. I never thought this would happen, but it's here. It's happening, and it's great.
And it's already wonderful. It's only been 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Caitlin and I have never been in the same room before.
Ever.
Like, literally.
And in the spirit of us being together for the first time ever, we are bringing you a special edition episode of On Wednesdays We Watch. And we decided that to keep with tradition of when we do these episodes, somebody from the One Tree Hill cast has to be in it, we will be talking about the phenomenon romance comedy movie from 2006, John Tucker Must Die, starring Jesse Metcalf, Brittany Snow, Sophia Bush, Ashanti, Ariel Kebble, and Penn Badgley.
Yep. It doesn't get more early 2000s than Jesse Metcalf
and Penn Badgley
being the two male leads.
It really doesn't, especially at this time. And this was actually, I think this may have been one of Penn's breakout roles because this was pre-Gossip Girl.
It was pre-Gossip Girl.
Because Gossip Girl didn't start until, I want to say, 2008.
It was like 06, 07, 08, something along those
One Tree Hill had already been on the air for several years by the time Gossip Girl started. So.
Well, this coincides pretty well with where we are in the series. Because because we're in 2006-ish
right.
in One Tree Hill time.
Right, we are.
07.
Either way.
We're in 07 now. Yeah, so
it's close.
Around that. Yeah, it's all close around.
This was probably the season 3, season 4 break for Sophia, right?
Probably, because I think when they come back for season 4, she has this hair.
She filmed, I had to look it up, she filmed this between seasons 2 and 3.
That's right. She had this hair at the beginning of season 3.
And then season 3, because season 3 is 05, 06.
Right.
And season 4 is 06, 07.
So this came out in the summer.
Yes, July 27, 2006. I did look it up. I tried to look up how much this movie grossed at the box office, but my computer doesn't want to connect to Brody's internet, so someone else is going to have to look that up for me.
All right.
But in the meantime, should we start talking about this movie?
Yeah, we have to.
Yes.
We have to.
We have to.
Oh, boy.
So many.
Oh, boy. All right. So we open with sweet, sweet Brittany Snow, who I think this may have also been one of her, like, first big roles that at least I remember her from. Mm-hmm. She's doing a voiceover. She's clearly in about seventh grade. And she's trying to be in seventh grade. And she's talking about how she feels invisible. And it was in the seventh grade that she realized she was invisible and how she felt anonymous. And in this particular scene, she is a seventh grader in a spelling bee. And she spells anonymous, spells it wrong. And then is told she spells it wrong, and the judge also spells wrong, which I thought was really funny.
I also, it may be one of the funniest parts of the movie.
Right.
Yes, is the whole spelling
thing. Is W-R-O-N-G wrong? Like,
That's how you spell it.
W-R? You're right. I can't even.
Jesse. But anyway, so then after she gets booed off the stage, but, you know, told she's out, she starts walking off the stage and she's like, you know, I guess you could say I was a, and then the next word that the child after her has to spell is loser. And then next scene, she is in class, she's a little bit older now, and when it comes to love, it definitely sucks, and she's not good at it, and she proceeds to get asked to pass a note to the girl in front of her by the cute guy. So she's, you know, never had a boyfriend, doesn't like love. And then she also claims that she has something else working against her. And then, in the next scene, Kate is unpacking boxes because it is very clear she just moved. And a wild Taylor Kitsch appears.
In his feature film debut. I did find that out. It is his film debut. I had to look that up.
I don't know who this man is.
Did you watch Friday Night Lights?
I absolutely didn't.
It's not Everwood, so no, she didn't.
That's true. That is very true. She did not. So Taylor Kitsch has cookies. And he's bringing them over because his mom made him because he is Kate's new next-door neighbor. And Kate starts talking to him because, you know, he's very attractive, even back then in 2006. And while Kate is mid-sentence introducing herself, he gets incredibly distracted because, as it turns out, Kate's mother is Jenny McCarthy the MILF.
The milfiest of Jenny McCarthy MILF.
Oh, yes. Truly. Her blowout is about 6 inches tall. Uh-huh. Just nothing but boobs and blonde hair.
Uh-huh. Titties out. She looked great.
Titties out, short shorts, and going high.
She looked fantastic.
Is this before, during, or after the anti-vax shit started coming out of her mouth?
I can't remember.
Probably slightly before.
Okay. I don't remember.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Jenny McCarthy, garbage human, but yes, here she is.
But yes. MILF. Looking hot.
MILF.
She looks really hot.
Garbage MILF.
She will be referred to as the MILF for the rest of this movie.
Yes.
Because that's how she is in my notes.
Oh yeah, I have notes.
So as it turns out, Kate goes on then to explain that her mother is a MILF with very bad taste in men. And the reason she's unpacking is because every time her mom goes out with a guy and then gets dumped, she gets really sad, she eats a bunch of chocolate, and then they pack up and skip town.
More specifically, she eats an entire tub of frosting.
It's true.
The spoon keeps getting bigger and bigger. It is the most gross, disgusting thing ever, of Jenny McCarthy just smearing frosting on her face.
That was her basically. Whole brand, though. She's like, I'm so hot, I can do gross shit, and you'll think I'm hotter.
Exactly.
Was her whole brand.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It tracks. It's fine.
And we also find out that Kate refers to all of her mom's boyfriends as Skip, because that is what they eventually do. So there's no point in learning any of their names. So she calls every single one of them Skip.
Perfect. No notes. I wish I would have had that when my mom was dating.
And then she says, but the good thing about being invisible is every time they leave town, she never has to do the sad goodbyes with friends because, well, she doesn't have any. Then it cuts to present day, where she is at her new school, and she is so invisible that at the basketball game, which she's currently attending, a random goth girl asks her if she's a narc. And side note, very young Caitlin in 2006 when this movie came out, hearing that she was being asked if she was a narc, thought that this girl was asking her if she had narcolepsy, not if she was an undercover cop.
Wow.
Oh. Wow. Like, so good.
Yeah.
So there was that. There was that. And then she goes on to say, but this story isn't about her, even though this far into the movie, 5 minutes in, she is narrating. It's about Jesse Metcalf, a.k.a.
Nathan Scott. I mean, sorry.
A.k.a. John Tucker.
Yes.
So.
I now, listed the season one Nathan
yeah,
Scott.
No, yes. Brunette basketball boy.
Yes.
Yeah, brunette basketball boy.
Yes.
So then we see, so this basketball game she's at, he is John Tucker, the star of the basketball team. And she refers to him as a cross between an Abercrombie model and a Greek god. Which,
in 2006, yes, he was.
Oh, especially.
This was fresh off Desperate Housewives.
I was
where
say,
he was the young teenage gardener who was having the affair with
Eva Longoria.
Oh, damn.
He was the hottest thing on two legs in 2006 at that point.
All the MILFs wanted him.
Yes, dear God.
because of Desperate Housewives.
Yes.
Right.
So, we hear all this about him. He, you know, goes on and he does a little slam dunky dunk. And then a wild Sophia Bush appears. The reason we're watching this movie.
There she is.
My girl, Sophia Bush. And she cheers for John and says, kill the bobcats. And then she sits down and looks directly to the person to her right and says, not real bobcats. They're endangered. And we don't know if this is John's girlfriend, but at the very least, she has a thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
Then we cut to Lindsay from Gilmore Girls, a.k.a. Ariel Kebble, and she appears, and she's a reporter for the school news team, and also must be important because she has lines.
So,
What I know her from is all those really bad American Pie sequels. She was in.
Oh, that's right.
She was in American Pie Band Camp, I think.
Oh, God. And see, I know her because she was in. She's right now in 9-1-1.
Oh, okay.
And she plays this daredevil firefighter that doesn't have a fear complex. So she literally, like, caught a woman who fell out of a building, like, jumped across, like, three lanes of traffic. Like, she's insane. Christ. It's crazy pants. And I'm like, I see her now and I'm like, oh, she's a news nerd. Yeah. Okay, great.
Yes, she is a news nerd. And so while she's talking, John steals her mic and starts to list off all of his super douchey nicknames that include JT, T-Dog, and T-Money.
So 2006.
Very 2006. T-Money. And then finally, we cut to Ashanti, who is also here, and she's a cheerleader. Yes. And they make it very clear that Ariel and Sophia do not like her, because Ariel makes a comment about the short skirts equaling talent, and Sophia Bush does her very, very classic Sophia Bush eye roll that we have come to know and love over four seasons of One Tree Hill.
Yep. It's... I don't know. I think before... Okay. I have not seen this movie since 07. Like, I remember watching this movie my senior year of high school. That is literally the last time I watched this movie.
Yep.
But now having seen some One Tree Hill, at the beginning I'm like, oh, she's kind of like channeling Hillary Burton's like angsty dark side a little bit until I got to know her later in, you know, later in the movie, and it's like, oh no, okay.
No, she's just vegan Brooke Davis.
She's just vegan Brooke Davis, 10-4.
Correct. Vegan Brooke Davis is a little bit dumb. And then, so we cut to the restaurant where Kate has a job, and she seats John Tucker at a table, and despite the fact that she's been at the school for 5 minutes, obviously she knows who he is, and he is very hot, and she is supposed to be the awkward, dirty girl who's never had a date, and so after she seats John Tucker at his table, she curtsies and walks away.
Yeah, perfectly normal.
Which is very valid. I probably would have done the same thing at 16. And it turns out, John Tucker has a girlfriend. We learn that Lindsay from Gilmore Girls' name is Carrie. And she's the lead anchor for the school TV station, an honor student, and an all-around wholesome, stellar human being that is probably going to yell with Rory Gilmore. and she also speaks very bad French.
It's the worst.
It's so bad.
It was so bad.
Really, really uncomfortable.
Oh.
But John eats it up, tells her that he loves it when she speaks French and that it's super hot. And then she tells him to kiss her in French, and then they start making out.
She tries to tell him to kiss her in French.
Tries is a better word. Tries is a much, much better word.
It's like French with a Spanish accent. It's so bad. It's like she's speaking French, but is also speaking Spanish. It was, very bad.
Correct.
Mm.
But then, hold on a second. John Tucker has two girlfriends,
What?
Because the next scene is at the same restaurant, and he's with Ashanti, who we learn's name is Heather. And she is the head cheerleader. And in this particular scene, John orders for her, and then they get all gushy and do the, no, I love it when you do this, and you're so cute, and blah, blah, blah. And he tells Kate not to rush in between courses. And then...
Well, and I just have to say this. Heather's entire personality trait in this entire film is that she's head cheerleader.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know about her. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's correct.
Yeah.
And then John Tucker proceeds to tell Heather how hot her top is and that how it's going to look really great on his floor. And then they start making out.
Yep.
But hold on one second. John Tucker has three girlfriends.
No.
And apparently the third one is vegan vegetarian, and John Tucker makes an entire scene about there being veal on the menu, and he swears he's never been to that restaurant before. We don't learn Sophia's real name at this point, but she's going to be Brooke Davis for the rest of this movie, so it doesn't really matter.
Absolutely. Doesn't she say, like, I haven't given up all meat? She makes a meat joke, too.
Yeah, she does. She absolutely does. We're getting to that.
Oh, okay.
So, Kate goes on to explain in her voiceover that Brooke Davis is a vegan team activist, and that it's code for easy. And then Brooke goes on to prove Kate correct by telling JT she doesn't have to give up all meat for him.
Yeah, there it is.
Wink, wink, nudge, and then nudge, they start, penis joke.
And then they start making out.
Dear God.
And Kate is very confused by all of this, and so she starts talking to a nameless blonde coworker about what the hell is going on. How is he getting away with this? And nameless waitress goes on to explain to Kate that John Tucker dates girls from different cliques so they don't talk to each other. And he tells them that his dad won't let him date during basketball season, so they have to keep it a secret. And Kate kind of looks at her and is like, how do you know all this? And then nameless waitress bursts into tears because it's very clear she has previously been played by John Tucker. Unfortunate.
I mean, granted, it's a good plan if you want to be a scuzzball about it.
Oh, absolutely.
No,
this... I think I went to high school with guys like this.
Yeah.
John Tucker is more confident than any 17-year-old person should be. Like, assuming he's, like, senior in high school, 17.
He is
more confident than anyone that age should ever be. Just, like, the eye contact, the sexy smirks, like, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. He's season one Nathan Scott.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then we cut to school, and we get hit with the classic All-American Reject song, Dirty Little Secret, as Kate sits alone in the cafeteria and observes John Tucker casually schmoozing with all of his women all across the cafeteria, and he buys raffle tickets from Heather, signs Brooke's petition, and
While touching her butt.
And then goes over to Carrie at the bake sale and proceeds to suck chocolate frosting off of her finger. And
while making eye contact with her. Yeah.
And it's
a lot.
It's a lot. And it's gross. And I am very impressed that none of his other girlfriends saw any of this.
Right.
Like, wow. Just wow.
Yeah.
So then we cut to gym class. And Coach Claypool is apparently out. And has
Well, the reason why is because after he's done licking the chocolate off of whatever the hell her name is, newsgirl's finger, he goes up the stairs and makes winks at Coach What's-Her-Face.
Coach Claypool,
who literally looks at him and has a heart attack. falls down the stairs.
That's right.
And there's a voiceover that says, it's not John's fault. He didn't know that she had acute angina. And literally proceeds to then flirt with the girl who... tries to help Coach Claypool.
Correct.
Yep.
Yes. So now.
So now we're in gym class, and because Coach Claypool is out and has acute angina, all of the first period gym classes have been combined, and oh no, all three of John's girlfriends are now in the same class.
We learn as well that in this school, every clique gets their own gym class.
Basically.
Must be nice.
Wow.
Yeah. So new coach is doing her best. Basically gets told that they hate her, and when she's calling through Roll, this wonderful goth girl, who I think's name was, like, Susie or something, deadass, stops and glares at this coach and then tells her, no, my name is Lucretia. And that was one of the funniest parts of the entire movie.
The bored goth girls are my favorite part of this movie.
Are the bored goth girls us in this movie?
They might have been.
They probably were.
I mean, I wasn't a bored goth girl in high school, but I am now.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like
watching this movie turned me into a bored goth girl.
Right. No, if there were any three characters in this movie that are us, it's those three.
Absolutely.
Yes, we fit 100%. Them the best. Yes.
Absolutely. So class is playing volleyball, and they get... split up into teams, and oh no, all of John Tucker's girlfriends are on the same team with Kate.
Well, we
also learn that Brooke's name is Beth, but who cares? She's still Brooke.
She's Brooke Davis.
She's Brooke. And
vegan Brooke Davis, it's fine.
Vegan Brooke Davis. So Carrie's friend asks her why she wasn't at a party, and then Carrie proceeds to say, oh, it's on the DL, but I'm totally dating John Tucker. And she's supposed to be whispering this, but she does a really, really bad job of whispering it because Heather, who's approximately 5 feet behind her, hears it, gets really mad, and then promptly hits Carrie in the back of the head with a volleyball.
Yes.
Calls it an accident, and then proceeds to do it again. So then, Carrie and Heather begin fighting because after Harry Styles fan fiction. After Heather hits her the second time, Carrie's like, yo, what's your problem? What the fuck? And Heather says, he's mine. Stay away from him. And they start fighting. And then Brooke intervenes with, peace and love. No boy is worth fighting over. Until she finds out they're fighting over John Tucker and promptly loses her shit. And then Kate gets hit in the face with a volleyball because they're all fighting.
Also, I just have to say, Harry Styles for the HBO remake of John Tucker Must Die.
Mm,
where they actually kill John Tucker.
I don't know how I feel about that.
But
I don't know how I feel about that.
Bisexual John Tucker.
Yes.
Yeah. Harry Styles, bisexual John Tucker.
Yes.
Okay, this is more fun now.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm into it. See? Now I'm into it. See, yes. See this is all you have to do is make it gay. And suddenly I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
There we go.
I will say this scene, as someone who has been hit in the face multiple times with volleyballs, it doesn't hurt that bad.
No.
They're being so dramatic.
Nope, they really are. They're not that
bad. It does make that noise, though. Weird.
Sound department and sound design, A+.
The Foley work on this fight is great.
Yes.
Excellent. Great.
It's one good thing we can say about it.
So then the new coach tries to break it up, and then it turns into an all-out brawl while the bored goth girls watch on. And somehow there's a dog pile. Kate ends up at the bottom of it. She grabs the coach's whistle, blows it to get everyone's attention, and then starts yelling at John Tucker's girlfriends because they're beating the shit out of each other and not taking it out on him when he's the one cheating.
Yeah.
And then she gets detention for cursing. The other three get detention for fighting. And then at the end of this scene, Brooke Davis asks Heather who that was. And even though Kate tried to introduce herself to Heather at the beginning of the scene, Heather goes, I don't know, I think her name's Pam.
Right. My favorite thing is, though, the coach, like, gave the girls a warning the first time when they started fighting and didn't give them a detention when they first started pushing each other, but it's at the end, and she was most offended by Kate cursing.
And blowing her whistle.
And blowing her whistle than the girls actually fighting.
Absolutely.
Because she immediately goes, language!
Oh yeah, she gets real mad.
Oh god.
She goes full Steve Rogers and says language.
Yep.
So then we cut to the library where detention is being held, and Penn Badgley is here.
A wild Penn Badgley in a curly-haired mop head of hair.
Yep.
And depending on how old you are and you're listening to this podcast, you either know him as Dan, aka Lonely Boy from Gossip Girl, or Joe from You. And wow, his hair was something in this movie.
So bad. Or what's his nuts from Easy A?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. He was in Easy A.
He is one of my favorite early 2000s movie love interests.
Yes. Like, he was a good one.
He's great at it.
He's so good.
Choice. He was a very good choice. Except Joe from You. Let's not talk about that one.
Oh, that's too scary for me. I can't watch you.
Oh, I haven't seen it either because it's too scary for me too.
And I have no interest in seeing it. So anyway.
Excellent. Great. Moving on. So Lonely Boy, who as he will be referred to for the rest of this episode. Because let's be real here. He is very lonely.
Lonely Boy.
Lonely Boy has his headphones on and he is singing Cheap Jerk at the top of his fucking lungs in the library of all places.
I will say as well, this may have been like his biggest feature film debut. Yes, it totally was.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Glad we confirmed that.
Yes.
Thank you for confirming.
You're very welcome. And this was the year before Gossip Girl.
Okay. So he did this and then he booked Gossip Girl.
Yes.
Great. Awesome. So he's singing at the top of his lungs, totally in his own world, got his headphones in. He doesn't hear Kate come in. And then when he realizes Kate is there, he gets all flustered, knocks his shit over, and apologizes. And then Kate recognizes the song because she's the quirky nerdy girl who obviously has good taste in music because nobody knows who she is. tells him, no, it's Cheap Trick. I don't blame you for belting it all. He's impressed that she knows the song. Introduces himself as Scott and says he's noticed her in chemistry, which, oh my God, Kate's totally flustered because this guy noticed her in class and he is cute.
And she's not invisible. And
wow. She's not invisible. Yep. Oh my God.
He's cute in a 2006 kind of way.
Yes, like, he's very cute. I'm pretty sure I had crushes on boys with moppy hair like that in 2006.
Oh, yeah. So,
including Lonely Boy in this particular movie. So Kate is early for detention. And then John Tucker walks by the window and she makes a really disgusted sounding noise. And Lonely Boy proceeds to tell her, oh, that's weird. Like, that's not usually how most people react to John. Normally, they start moaning. Which he then proceeds to do. Kate says Jerk isn't her type. Lonely Boy agrees. And then when Kate is confused, we find out that Lonely Boy is John Tucker's little brother. And
of course.
Kate calls him the other Tucker and starts to say he doesn't look like John Tucker. And Lonely Boy interrupts her and is like, no, just say what you're actually thinking. That I'm not as cute or muscly, as funny, blah, blah, blah. But don't worry. His mom says he's special on the inside.
I love that line. It was so good.
I did too. It was good. So then the other girls come in for detention. And once they're all sitting down, Heather turns to Carrie and Brooke Davis and it says, okay, fine. I talked to John Tucker. And she confronts him about dating the other girls. And John Tucker lies and says if he could have a girlfriend during basketball season, it would be her. And says they have something special. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This was before detention. Heather does this. And now they're in detention. And Heather starts to tell Brooke and Carrie these things. And lo and behold, he said the exact same thing, word for word, to all three of them. Because she gets halfway through her sentence. And then Carrie and Brooke Davis are also repeating those words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're all like, damn, he's really playing us. This is such fucking bullshit. And it turns out, sweet, sweet Brooke has hooked up with John Tucker and said they share a vegan, nonviolent outlook on life. Heather calls her a hippie split, and Brooke makes a bring it on joke. Which was excellent.
Yes. Yeah, it's the only way anyone knew how to talk about cheerleaders in 2006.
And Heather even responds by saying, it's only natural that John and I are together because he's the star of the basketball team. I'm the head cheerleader. And then Brooke Davis makes a BJ joke. And under her breath, Kate tells them all to shut up. And then they realize she's in the room.
Oh,
you're here.
And she Pam's here. Pam is also in detention.
Yeah, she showed up early to detention.
She showed up early to detention. And then she, like, very quietly apologizes when she realized that they hurt her. And they're all staring at her like, you got something to say, and why are you telling us to shut up? And then so she goes on to break it down for them and says that he uses pet names so he doesn't have to remember theirs, and says they have a special bond but will never be in a relationship with them, and the whole arrangement is their idea, so he's going to gaslight you into feeling guilty about him cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie confirms that John is a gaslighting piece of shit and he makes her feel guilty about things all the time. Heather accuses Kate of dating John Tucker as well, and Kate says, no, she just knew a guy like him, aka Skip, aka every man her mother has ever brought home. And all the girls consider breaking up with John Tucker, but then he'd have another girl in a second, so what's the fucking point? And Kate goes on to say she wouldn't get mad, she'd get even. And then they ask who she is, because they still don't know. And she introduces herself again, and then Brooke assumes she's the girl who wigged out and got sent to rehab, or bulimia, or fat camp.
God.
Cut to Kate's house, and the MILF has a date with a vet, and she's borrowing her 16-year-old clothes, and says she has a friend at the front door. Because the most important part of this scene is not the fact that Jenny McCarthy is wearing her 16-year-old daughter's clothes for a date. It's that, oh my God, Kate has friends!
Or the fact that Jenny McCarthy is dating a doctor. Well, actually, not a doctor, a vet. No, not a vet, a vet tech.
That's right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Also stupidly funny.
Oh my God.
So, Kate has a friend at the door. So, cut to the front door. She opens it once. Carrie's at the door, and she remembers Kate's name. Good for her. Doorbell rings again. Opens it. Heather is there, too, and she says she wants to bring John Tucker down. And last, but certainly not least, sweet Brooke Davis is the last one to ring the doorbell, and she says normally she's against the slaughter of animals, but in John Tucker's case, she will make an exception.
Best fucking line of the movie! Oh, God, I loved it so much.
Cut to Kate's room, and they're talking about, okay, how are we going to do this? And Kate says, well, she doesn't know John. She can't do this. Brooke says, yes, you can. You're the Swiss. You're neutered.
Yep.
Oh, God.
And all the girls agree they want to kill John Tucker, and they can't do it alone because they know him. And if they do it, he's going to put together that it was them. So then, back at school, they're in the AV room. Where's Mouth McFadden when you need him? And Carrie pulls up John Tucker's headshot? Or I don't know why she has this. I'm still trying to figure it out. But he's also shirtless, so I'm still confused.
Wasn't it his, like, basketball something? Like, she has it for the news?
Right, but why is he shirtless?
Listen.
Because they got Jesse Metcalf shirtless as often as they could in
right.
the film.
I mean, yeah.
It was geared towards teenage girls, and it worked.
You yeah. are correct then.
Finish okay. your drink every time Jesse Metcalf takes his shirt off in this
God.
Movie. Oh,
God, you'd be hammered by the first 20 minutes.
That's yeah, why take a shot every time you see a whale tail. Sorry, spoilers. But and finish your drink whenever Jesse Metcalf takes his shirt off.
There you go, kids. Found your drinking game to watch to listen to the episode
Ooh,
with.
Boy.
There you go.
Beth is like, okay, Kate, do your thing. And the minute Kate opens her mouth, Carrie interrupts again and is like, no, this is great. We have to dig deep and figure out what makes John tick. And Brooke says everything, and they agree he's hot, but how do they take him down? Heather says in cheer they undermine the other team's confidence by making them feel lame. And then we get a really solid UGLY, you ain't got no alibi reference from Brooke. And Carrie agrees with Heather, and Kate says, well, you just make him undateable. And then Carrie blows up his face on the computer. But how do they do this? That is what they cannot come up with. So then, Brooke gets an idea.
I thought for a minute you meant like, how did they do that tech-wise?
No.
Like, how did they make his head
No, but how do they make John Tucker undateable?
Mm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well.
You can't.
No, apparently not. Because cut to a photo shoot with John Tucker and Brooke, and the most aggressive photographer I have ever seen in my life, in what appears to be a very random photo shoot. And Brooke claims that this is a photographer her parents work with, her parents are somehow connected to the modeling industry, and... So then John goes through a very, very strange photo shoot where the photographer is yelling things at him one after the other, and he's a little scared, a little turned on, and...
Shirtless in the woods.
Yes.
Yep.
So it turns out there
he's
is...
He's half naked and afraid.
Yes.
half naked and nervous.
There it is. Half naked and nervous. There it is.
So then it turns out this was... The reason for this photo shoot, we find out, is when John, in the next scene, John is with yet another girl at the movies.
There are only so many days in the week, John. Jesus.
I know. I'm really impressed with his time management.
Really?
Like, because my time management in high school was not this good.
Nope.
My time management now isn't this good.
Yep. No. Same. Big same. So once they're at the movies, and you know, there's no Maria Menounos pre-show movies. In this particular moment.
No, they were one of those annoying people who showed up like right as the movie was getting going. And it's like, what?
Correct. But there were still ads playing because we find out that the ad on the screen has John Tucker in it from that photo shoot. It's a photo from that photo shoot. And she's like, oh, I didn't know you model. And he's like, yeah, I do it on the side part time, blah, blah, blah. But then it turns out that the ad is for genital herpes awareness. And the ad claims that John also has it. New girlfriend freaks out. She leaves. John tries to defend himself and say he was just modeling. Everyone throws popcorn at him. And you think, okay, maybe they did it. But no, no. Cut to the next scene where it actually worked out for him because he wins an award at school for being an advocate and spreading awareness.
For herpes.
For herpes.
And there's a line of people behind him that all have herpes on their face.
That all have it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh boy.
Wow.
The girl with a giant cold sore on her face tries to kiss him, and it's like, ooh.
Not good.
Not great.
No.
So now back at Kate's house, they're trying to come up with a plan B, and the MILF comes home, and Brooke is immediately incredibly horny. And says, oh, hi, Miss Spencer, how are you? And Laura, you know, then flirts with the underage teenage girl. And is like, oh, no, sweetie, you can call me Lori. And Brooke, being this bisexual icon that she is in all universes, turns to Kate and is like, your mom is so hot.
Yep.
And then Carrie goes on to establish herself as even bigger nerd because of all the lists that she has. That's all we need to say about that because there's a lot of them and Rory Gilmore is shaking. and then, while Heather is sitting at the dining room table, she has a bottle of pills. And this particular bottle of pills is estrogen, because she wants to go up a cup size. As, you know, any high school girl does, but not all of us are going to take drugs to do it.
And thus begins this movie's complete misunderstanding of how hormones work and hormone supplements work.
I will say, I love the fact, too, that Brooke is like, they torture horses to get this. It's from their pee. And Ashanti's just like, peeing doesn't sound like torture. It's fine.
God.
Yep. So then the conversation goes back to John Tucker and how are they going to get rid of the matcha thing that he has going for him. So Kate suggests that they give him the estrogen pills. And Heather, in the next scene, takes crushed up pills and very, very quickly puts them in JT's pre-workout powder and then tells him he needs to double doses because he's losing time. The During this entire scene, John is in complete disbelief and goes down to flexing his arms to be like, I'm losing tone. And he's not, but his ego, his muscles are strong, but his ego is stronger. And Heather gets to him. So he does what she tells him to do.
Yeah.
Cut to chemistry class, where Lonely Boy decides to make a move to spend more time with Kate. And tells her that his lab partner, you know, something happened with his old lab partner, and he's no longer there, he's in the hospital or something, and so he needs a new one, and hey, can he work with Kate? And Kate's like, yeah, sure, fine. They start talking nerdy, and there's sparks because Kate touches his hand, and when she touches his hand, he kind of loses his shit, spills whatever it is they're measuring all over the table, and it gets onto his pants. And he starts freaking out. He's like, oh my god, it's burning. And then Kate's like, it's salt water. Then once he finds out it's salt water, he's like, great, it just looks like I peed. And then flicks her with some of the water. And she flicks him with some of the water. And then they get in trouble for flirting in chemistry class.
True. So, Ben watched this movie with me. I know, yes. I told you all this.
Yes, you did tell us
earlier.
This.
But he did not want to. He told me he wasn't going to, but then he just didn't leave and watch the whole thing with me. So, his only issue with this scene was, where were their safety goggles? He was very hung up. Because she was wearing safety goggles when he showed up at her table. Mm-hmm. And then took them off so she could be hotter for him, essentially.
Well, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everyone else in that room was wearing safety goggles.
Yep.
Of course.
Yeah. So...
It's the 2006 hotness. It protects her from chemical burns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, and also the fact that it was salt water.
That's true.
Yeah.
And Kate's smart, so she knew that.
Yeah.
We have yet another basketball game because, once again, even though we're not watching One Tree Hill, we've still managed to find the basketball
movie. We have basketball montages in this movie that I feel like all of season 3 and 4 combined at this point.
Or season 2.
There's been more basketball in this 90-minute movie than there has been in the whole series we watched so far.
Like, oh, my God.
So, basketball game is happening. I believe the team is called the Kodiaks because they're bears.
Yes,
correct. So, go Kodiaks, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So, the Kodiaks are winning the game and everything is going great. And John's doing his thing until he gets nudged. And he tells the other player from the other team to watch it and watch what he's doing because his nipples are sensitive. And then John does an excellent impression of a stereotypical woman down to the chocolate bar between calls, between periods, between whatever the fuck it is.
Nondescript best friend.
His nondescript best friend.
Yeah.
Who's like, man, I got low blood sugar. He's like, I need it.
Yeah, the stereotypical early 2000s fat friend who is never seen not eating.
Yes.
Like, he's the mascot. I think he's very funny. He's a very fun character.
He's great in this movie.
But
don't ask me to give you his name, because I don't even think they give him a name.
His name's Tommy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
But at one point in time, he's literally walking around with his mascot head full of popcorn. Uh-huh. Just walking around eating popcorn out of his mascot
big
head.
Mood.
Big mood.
That is a very, very big move.
No,
I aspired to be that in high school.
Right? Mm-hmm. During this basketball scene, we did get some very good trash talk, though, because the guy who is hurting John's feelings so badly said, and I quote, "If I wanted to listen to an asshole, I would have farted." And I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
No,
that's
it doesn't.
Great. That's great, actually.
So the game continues, and John tries to make a jump shot and jump over someone and hits him in the face with his balls. And then when he hits the ground, he has a full-on mental breakdown.
Yep.
And it is like the classic, everyone needs everything from me all the time. What about me? What about my needs? What about my feelings? It's always John. He's crying, and then he walks out of the game.
Who knew teabagging someone would lead to a complete mental breakdown?
I mean, you know, Sometimes that's all it takes.
Really, I mean, it was an airborne teabag.
It was.
There was some force behind it.
Dear God.
But this scene would have us believe that his nipples are more sensitive than his balls at this point in time.
Yes, correct.
Because that's how estrogen and hormones work.
Exactly.
Wow.
So
2006, wild time.
It seems like John has finally fallen from grace because he has feelings. But, turns out, he's even hotter to girls now because he's a sensitive soul. And a girl at school comes up to him and hands him a piece of paper and was like, what you did the other night was really brave. I run a peer support hotline. Call me if you ever need to talk. And then leans in and whispers to him that she stays up late.
Yep.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
This high school has the horniest student body in it.
And that's saying something for a high school. With
girls in it. Yep. Just all of them.
Well, yeah, because John Tucker goes to their high school. It's like, true. Whew. So, now that he has a whole new slew of girls to pick from, he breaks up with all three of our main character girlfriends. And gives them the exact same spiel. Because it's one of those rotating camera ones where you see him, you see who he's talking to, then it cuts to the next one, and then it cuts to the next one.
It's very cool.
It is very good. It is very well shot, well edited, good for them. And then, at the end of the scene, once he's dumped all of them, they all slap the shit out of him. Which, thank God somebody did.
No kidding.
God.
I mean, it lays down a good beat. It's like, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's really, great. It's really, really good. And so then, cut to, we're back at Kate's house, and all three girls storm in because they're pissed off because it didn't work. John has not fallen from grace, and they got dumped. And it turns out that Brooke is very upset because she couldn't even enjoy the breakup sex. And upon hearing herself out loud, she realizes that she is a slut. Her words, not mine.
It's my favorite. She just goes, oh, I really am a slut.
And then leans her head back, but she hits her head too hard. And they all start laughing. And then now the chocolate fest of getting over John Tucker begins in Kate's bedroom. And for the first time, Kate has, like, kind of, sort of, maybe real friends. Maybe.
Yeah.
And Heather is completely just like, this is bullshit. We should have broken his heart, but he broke up with everyone. So how do we do that? And then the other three girls realize not everyone in this room has been dumped by John Tucker. And as soon as Kate realizes what they're thinking, she tells them absolutely not. She doesn't like him. It won't work. They try to convince her. She says no. And then they guilt her by talking about, you have to do this for all the women out there who have been hurt by people like John. Cue Kate thinking about her mother and all the men who have hurt her. And she says, okay, fine, tell me what to do. Surprise, Kate's a cheerleader now in the next scene. Heather makes her cheerleader and kicks a girl off the squad who sprained her ankle.
Who's going to be fine in a week, but sorry, kid, better luck next year.
Better luck next time. And so at cheer practice, they start working on the pyramid. And Kate, and she goes, all right, Kate, John loves girls on top. You get up there. And, you know, it's an obviously it's a sex joke. And everyone stares at Heather. And she's like, no, duh. Of the pyramid. Like, not, you know, sex. And
haha, wink, wink, wink. 2006 sex joke. PG-13. PG-13, 2006 sex joke.
So they get Heather. They get Kate up at the top of the pyramid. And she's very excited that she did it. She tries to do a cheer and then knocks the entire thing over.
Finds herself at the bottom of a pig pile for the second time. For the second time in 30 minutes.
Yeah, in the same gym.
No, I would argue that the real plot of this movie just started. Like, this movie has two definitive parts, and I would argue the second part is the better. Like, once it finally gets rolling with this Kate stuff, like, it gets watchable for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it definitely does. And so, cut to the hallway where Heather and Kate are having an attitude lesson, because Heather is telling her, you know, you have to play it cool, and if you act too eager or too excited, John's not going to be interested. So, and then, lo and behold, who should appear but John Tucker himself. And after asking Heather if they're cool, before Heather can even respond, he notices Kate and asks who she is, says she's cute, and then Heather says, no, sorry, it's not going to happen. She's not into high school boys. And then She walks away, leaving Joan Tucker standing there completely in awe, who is this new mystery blogger. Mm-hmm. And Heather's like, okay, I talked to John. He thinks you're cute. Mm-hmm. Kate, being the sweet, sweet soul that she is, because she's never had a boyfriend or ever had anyone being interested in her, gets all gushy and excited. And Heather's like, well, fuck. So she pulls her into the bathroom where Carrie and Brooke Davis are strategically waiting inside stalls. Because what else are you going to do?
Absolutely.
And proceeds to be like, we have a problem. Heather asks Kate to tell them what John said about you. And she tries to play it cool, but she totally isn't. He's like, well, you know, he said I was cute, blah, blah, blah. She's got doe eyes and all that stuff. And they're like, whoa, fuck. And they're like, no, she's not ready. And then they ask her if she's ever dated anyone before. And they say no. And they're confused because she's like, we thought you said you had dealt with guys like him before. And she's like, well, I've seen it happen to my mom. And they're like, well, fuck. So then they decide that they're going to give her pointers. And,
well, they say it's like, have you ever dated guys like this before? And she's like, no. And they're like, have you ever dated before?
And then everyone panics.
Yeah.
Because what else are you going to do when the girl who's supposed to ruin his life doesn't know what she's doing?
Yep.
So the girls start to give her pointers, including counting to three before she speaks to him. But then she goes too slow. And then we remember it's 2006 because Brooke says the R word.
Yep.
And don't go that slow because we don't want him to think you're dumb. Dumb is the word we will use here instead.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because that is what she meant.
Yes.
That is
what she meant.
That is not what she said.
That is not what she said, but it is what she meant. Well, cut to in between classes. Kate is walking down the hall, and John catches up with her, and the game is officially on. She does what the girls told her to do, and takes a pause between answering John, and it's actually really funny because you can see her mouthing the words 1, 2, 3 as she's, like, waiting to answer John.
Yep.
And he, you know, he decides that, you know, he has to take her out because he's the captain of the basketball team. She's a new cheerleader. It's almost a rite of passage that he needs to take her out to dinner. And then she says she's not interested because she's busy and walks off, leaving him stunned because someone told her no.
And that's all she said because she was too busy to keep counting to three that he'd always interrupt her by the time she got to three to say something. So literally all she says is like, hi. And then after he asks her, it asks her out, she goes, sorry, I'm busy, and leaves.
I think they honestly could have broken him just by waiting 3 seconds to answer anything he says.
Oh,
absolutely. He's so unused to not getting
immediate satisfaction.
Oh, absolutely. And then cut back to chemistry class where she's still lab partners with Lonely Boy. They're in the middle of doing, you know, the science thing, and then a random nerdy freshman comes in and he has a bouquet of flowers. And the teacher's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he's like, sorry, I'm supposed to deliver them to her. And then, like, 12 other boys proceed to come in with flowers and giving them to her. And then we find out that the flowers are from John, because John somehow has gotten a hold of the school's PA system and is announcing to them that he's going to take Kate out to dinner. And she's going to say yes, and he's going to keep trying until he says yes.
Mm-hmm. And proceeds to give his phone number out, and every other girl in the school is vigorously writing down the number, and Kate doesn't.
Yeah.
No.
So
he gave a teacher a heart attack. Of course he has access to the to the PA system.
No, that's fair. And then we're back in the AV room, and apparently Carrie has been recording everything this entire time. Because when they're back in the AV room, she informs them that they're going to do an expose. And she starts turning the camera on everybody. And Heather does her best little rhyming thing with John's name. Almost says motherfucker and then gets cut off.
Because PG-13 and they don't use the F word in this one.
Yes, exactly. And then Brooke and Heather say John Tucker's line about, you know, you're the only one for me. Or there's only one guy out there for me, but you are not him. Because that is what John tells each of these girls when he breaks up with them, is, you know, there's a girl out there for me, but it's not you. And that's a fucking shitty thing to say to somebody. Good God.
Fuck this guy.
Then they're like, okay, Kate, your turn. And the first time she does it, it's really bad. The second time she does it, she tries to imitate Ashanti. And it's just as bad, if not worse. And then finally they're like, no, remember, we're doing this for every woman who's ever had their heart broken by a John Tucker. And then Kate finds her inner bitch and pulls it off.
Yep.
And then everything shifts because she's thinking of her mom. So then we get the montage of John Tucker trying to win Kate over. He finds her in the hallway, asks her if she likes the flowers, and is confused because he didn't get a phone call. And she's like, no, I didn't have a pen. Mm-hmm. And then in the next scene, we see John Tucker asking Lonely Boy for advice because he's like, oh, you're in chem class with Kate. Like, what do I do? What's she like? What's she into? And Lonely Boy is like, you know, I don't think you're her type. She's deep. And John's like, oh, I'm deep. I'm dating the whole poetry club. Yeah.
Cool. Also, have we thought about the age difference between the brothers?
They're a year apart.
Are they a year apart?
Okay. Yes, because I think, from my understanding, John is a senior and Kate and Lonely Boy are juniors.
Okay, and the other girls are seniors.
I think so, yes. Okay. So, in the next scene, Lonely Boy catches up with Kate in the halls and explains to her that he's supposed to be tailing her and not being obvious to learn about her on behalf of John. And then they exchange one of those Hallmark looks that we learned about back at Christmas. Significant Hallmark looks that we learned about back at Christmas because Lonely Boy is very much in love with Kate.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Very, very. The minute he spilled salt water on his pants.
Oh, no. The minute she knew who Cheap Trick was.
Absolutely. That's
true.
That's
true.
It was the pretty blonde girl knowing who Cheap Trick was that did it for him.
Yes.
Yep.
Like, no. And then, finally, at the next basketball game, John is playing and Kate's cheering, and he basically holds up the entire basketball game and says that he is not going to continue to play until Kate agrees to go out with him. And she says, okay, fine, whatever. He shoots the shot. They win the game. Everyone's celebrating. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Nothing like a bit of light blackmail to really spice up a romance.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. And then we're back in Kate's room, and the girls are helping her get ready. And this includes Brooke all but smothering herself in Kate's chest because she has a boob cam. And by boob cam, I mean she has a camera strapped to her bra.
Yep.
But we get a really funny shot of Sophia Bush just going in and out on the camera just being like, hello.
But before that, she goes, guys, on her bra, he's going to find that in like 2 seconds.
And they're all like,
So excuse like, me? Is she like,
okay, sorry.
Is he though?
The chaotic bisexual Brooke Davis.
Absolutely
in this.
Chaos.
Like, chaotic bisexual chaos. Vegan Brooke Davis.
Yes. Vegan Brooke Davis.
The best part of this movie.
This is the best multiverse. Yeah. So then they tell her that if they can, they're going to try and keep it up until John Tucker's birthday because his birthday party is like prom and homecoming combined. Prom meets homecoming meets the MTV Movie Awards. Mm-hmm. It's this big blow-up bash he throws every year. Everyone from the entire school gets invited. Clearly, John's parents are rich because it's just like this massive, massive blowout. And then they start talking to her about the date itself. And they're like, okay, once you're on the date with John, what are you going to do? And Kate says, I count to four. And then Kate panics because she's never been on a date before. She doesn't know what she's doing. And then they try to make her practice. And they tell her she has to be the one in control. And she practices with Brooke, who asks her what she wants to do. And Kate says, I don't know. What do you want to do? And they're like, no, that's wrong. You're in control. Do not let him be in control. If you ask him what he wants to do, then you're not the one holding the cards. And so then Carrie goes through it with her again. And it's like, you know, baby, I just want to make you happy. What do you want? And then Kate finally gets it because she's smart. And says, well, what do you think I want? And don't be wrong. And that is apparently the correct answer.
Cool. Fine. Great. This is high stakes dating for someone who's never gone on a date before.
I know.
Right?
High stakes.
Yeah, this is a lot. So then we cut to, there's a beach party, and Kate meets up with John Tucker, and there's a sunset, and suddenly everyone knows who she is. Like, random kids are all saying hi to her, and she's very bewildered because she's used to being invisible. And John starts to ask her about herself and what her story is, and she keeps being mysterious like the girls told her to be, and says it's still being written. And he compares it to a mystery and says he likes that. And at first she starts to get excited and then was like, no, I have to be chill. And she asks what he likes about mysteries. And John says he likes secrets. And Kate just says, I bet. They walk a little bit further and then John just suddenly stops and is like, hang on, okay, I just want to enjoy this for a second. And Kate is very confused because she thinks he's talking about the sunset, which his back is now to. And he says, no, no, no. I'm saying that I just want to watch everyone be insanely jealous because I'm out with the coolest girl in school, a.k.a. Kate. I will give it to him. John Tucker is very charming. And yes. I understand why Kate has doe eyes.
And the two of them look very good together.
They look very nice
They look together. Very good together. It's a very sweet date. Like, they're having fun.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I fully understand why, maybe not why people keep dating him, mm-hmm. but I fully understand why people would be interested.
And
yeah,
why because, they fall for him.
Right, yeah, because yeah. he is also kind of a chameleon, like as we saw in his dates with the mm-hmm. the other three earlier, you know, he's very, he can morph his personality into whatever mm-hmm. you want, and this is, you know, I think we're supposed to believe that this is more genuine, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a little bit of way, yeah.
In a way, we're supposed to believe that this is the, but this is the real John, mm-hmm. right? But mm-hmm. it's also, in a way, exactly what
everyone else is falling for.
Kate, yeah, it's what Kate needs and wants in sure. a date as well.
Exactly.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they continue, and John asks how he lands her and asks if it was his charm or his cute butt. And Kate says, no, it was your modesty. And the girls are in a bush watching them on the boob cam, and they're worried because John is on his game tonight with the beach and the sunset. And Brooke says there's no romantic fire. And then we immediately cut to a bonfire where Kate and John Tucker are roasting s'mores, and Kate's is literally on fire, while sad lonely boy looks on because he realizes his brother is out with the girl he likes.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. John asks to give Kate a ride home, and she panics because she says she has to pee. And as soon as he's gone, she leans forward into the boot camp and is like, please come help me, I don't know what I'm doing. And so then she gets back to the truck, which is what John calls it, but it is in fact a Jeep Wrangler. And we get a wild Brooke Davis appearance because she truly comes out of nowhere and is like, okay, hi, I'm here to help. And her little sweet peppy self. And then says it's going to be okay because if anything, it'll be just a kiss because he keeps it PG-13 on the first night. Brooke asks her if she's a good kisser. Kate says she doesn't know. And does anyone know, really? She's trying to play it off. And then Brooke asks if she's been told she's a good kisser. And Kate panics and is like, oh my God, I'm a bad kisser. And Brooke is like, no, no, no. It only needs to be one kiss and you just have to leave him wanting more. And Kate continues to panic. So Brooke is like, ugh, fine. I'm going to have to show you how to do this.
So she gets in the car, which I think is hilarious.
She gets in the front seat of the car and is like, okay, here's what you do. You grab onto the back of his neck and you lock eyes with him and you go in slow and your lips might touch, but not just yet. And then you give him one light kiss. And then Brooke proceeds to take what we can only assume is Kate's first kiss. And I am very gay for Sophia Bush. Happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. It is, in fact, June 16th. 18th.
18th.
Thank you.
Yeah.
They get interrupted by a horny freshman who sees all of this and tells them to kiss again. And they're like, ew, get out of here, perv. And they flash the headlights. Perv goes running. And then they realize John is walking towards the car. And then Kate is still, like, kind of low-key panicking. And Brooke does what Brooke does best and hauls her ass into the back of John's car.
Yep.
In her Old Navy flip-flops.
Yep.
That she got at the $1 sale.
Absolutely.
And she starts hiding in the back seat of John's car.
Thankfully, the back of his car is disgustingly gross and full of a bunch of random clothes
shit. She's buried in sweaty basketball uniforms.
Yeah, yep. It's disgusting.
It's disgusting back there.
Yeah.
So as John continues to walk to the car, Kate is panicking either because John's coming or because she's just realized she likes women. Still to be determined.
Full by panic.
Full absolute by panic about what just happened. And John asks her what's wrong, and she says she's just breathing. She breathes a lot. And they leave, and Brooke is still in the truck. And Carrie starts to panic because she sees all this from the boob cam and it's like, oh my god, Beth is still in the truck. And Heather says, what? And then Carrie yells, slut in truck, we have to go!
I take it back. That's the best line from the movie. Slut in truck, we have to go!
Yeah.
So, cut back to John is driving Kate home and he asks her what kind of music she likes and says, what do you think I like? And then he starts fishing around in his backseat for a CD. And he narrowly misses Brooke laying on the floor. The CD, as it turns out, is Elvis Costello.
Is his brother's Elvis Costello CD?
Yep.
Yes. And then Kate is pleasantly surprised because she actually likes Elvis Costello and starts to get excited. And then Brooke hits her from the backseat to play it cool. While Brooke is on the floor, she starts to get mad because she finds a bra. And she gets very, very pissed and then realizes it's a 100% hemp bra and then steals it. Which, because, let's be honest here, it was probably hers.
I think it was totally hers. It was totally her bra.
Definitely her bra to begin with. And then John asks her what her other secrets are and Kate says, if I tell you, I'll have to kill you. And then they finally get to the house and John was going to just let her go and because he wants to take it slow and he doesn't want to, like, do anything yet. He doesn't want to screw it up. But Brooke is still like, I need to get out of the fucking car. Like, you have to get him out of this car so I can leave. And so Kate asked him to walk her to her door. And he just was like, okay, fine. I'll walk you to the door. And so Brooke finally starts to get out of the car, but she gets stuck. Her skirt gets stuck on something on the truck. I think maybe like one of the hinges. And
it looks like... It looks like it's stuck on the door latch, but then as he's driving away, it's fully stuck on the wheel, and it's like, yeah, like flapping against the street as he drives away.
It is non-descriptively stuck on the corner of the Jeep.
Brooke Davis is stuck on truck.
Yes.
Slut is stuck on truck.
So she's stuck. She can't get away. So Kate is like, okay, fine, I have to try and kiss him. So she tries to do what Brooke told her to do and ends up smashing their heads together. And it's really awkward. But then Brooke is still stuck. And John tries to leave again, and Kate stops him. And this time, with much more tact, she says she likes a little risk and then kisses him very quickly. She can get away. And then the sprinklers turn on in her yard. So John walks her actually to her door. Then, you know, the romantic music begins swelling. They kiss again. And then Kate starts getting electrocuted because the boob cam got wet.
Yep.
And it's shorting out. And she just plays it off by saying she doesn't want to... She goes, I don't want to ruin anything by going too fast. And then runs inside.
As she's convulsing and just keeps going, ow. Uh-huh. Ow. Ow.
As ow. Just the Girl by Click 5 begins playing.
Oh, so good.
Another bop. This movie is...
The soundtrack is the best part of this movie.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The soundtrack and then Slut in Truck.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So then, finally, we cut to Brooke getting back to Carrie's car. She's covering her bottom half, and she complains because it wasn't even her date, and John still got her out of her skirt.
So good.
And then, like Jesse just said, John Tucker drives off with Brooke's skirt still attached to his wheel, flapping every so often as it rotates, and...
Makes no sense, but okay.
It makes absolutely no sense. And then cut to what we can only assume is a few days later. And the girls are all hanging out in Kate's room. They're eating pizza. And wondering, we find out when John Tucker is going to drive past the house again. 10 seconds goes by. And he does. He comes by again, like clockwork. And then calls Kate for what we find out is the 5th time. Which is 2 calls past desperate, according to Brooke. Mm-hmm. So Kate finally answers the phone. And when she answers, she pretends to not know who John is until he says his full name. And then she's like, oh yeah, hey, how's it going? Continues to play it cool, just like the girls have taught her. And John asks her if she's figured out if she's free Saturday night. And, you know, she's like, oh yeah, you know, and just like kind of vaguely just not answering him. And she brings the phone over by where the girls are. And she's in the middle of like maybe starting to answer John's question about being free Saturday. And then goes, oh shit. And he's like, what's wrong? And she goes, oh, this perv in a Jeep has been driving by the house nonstop. He's freaking us out. it's not good. And John's like, and obviously the perv she's referring to is John.
Yeah. She's like, I may just call the cops.
Yes. Yeah. Well, first he says, right. Do you want me to come over and check it out? And she says, no, we're just going to call the cops. And they hang up the phone. And then John proceeds to freak the fuck out and knocks over a couple trash cans and drives away.
Yeah. Well, it's levels, because the first thing she says when there's a perv is he immediately like crouches down and like lays down in the front seat of his car. He lays down
completely horizontal.
Yes.
And drives away without sitting back up. He is blind driving.
Yep. Knocks over trash cans and then speeds off again. God.
So since John has, according to the girls, now hit stalking level, they're like, okay, fine. We need to let John take you on a real date. Mm-hmm. So they get her ready for the date. They are... in typical John Tucker fashion, they are at the restaurant where Kate works. And Kate, you know, naturally starts to head for the main dining room because this is where she's seen John with all these other girls. And John starts pulling her in the other way and says they're doing takeout. She's very confused and is like, oh, where are we going? And they then proceed to walk past the waitress that John Tucker has played. And she drops her tray and starts sobbing as they walk away because she realizes Kate is there. It's now on a date with John Tucker.
Yes.
Then the other girls show up at the restaurant and they can't find John Tucker and Kate. And I'm like, where the fuck are they? And then the sad waitress, who is still crying, just stands there sadly pointing out the door in the vague direction where John and Kate have gone.
God.
It's so stupid,
but it's so funny.
That's what this whole movie is. It's just stupid and funny.
It is. And then it turns out that John is taking Kate on a boat.
The boat.
The boat.
The family's boat.
The family boat. And the other three girls are like, what the fuck? Like, this is not in his playbook. Have you been on the boat? I haven't been on the boat.
I haven't been on the boat.
No,
I didn't even know there was a boat.
I didn't even know there was a boat. Like, what the fuck? He's going on the boat. What is he up to? And because of the range in between the girls and the boot camp, now because they're on the boat and going out into the water with T-Pain, that was an I'm on a boat reference for those of you who are not familiar.
Oh, boy.
Y'all are going to regret letting me do this. If you don't already, you're going to. And so the boot cam starts to short out and lose reception because the girls are out of range. And so they resort to finding a fishing motorboat, but it's going very, very slow. And Heather accidentally floods the engine after telling Brooke to pretend it's a whaling boat and go Greenpeace on their asses. And the motor falls into the water, and their phones don't work because they're stuck, because they're out in the middle of the water.
And 2006 reception sucked ass.
It did. It absolutely did. And so the girls are officially stuck, and they start screaming. Well, cut back to the boat with John and Kate, and you can't even hear the girls screaming.
Nope.
So that's how far away they are.
Brooke Davis did have the same cell phone I did in the little Motorola rumor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely had the same phone I did.
Yep. Same. So we're back on the boat now, and John asks her how the date is going, and Kate says she couldn't have even dreamed up a date this perfect, and says John is afraid to just hang and be himself. And then John says, you know, he's terrified of trying to impress her, and is confused and doesn't get it because she's dialed into high school so well. She just knows what's going on. And Kate denies it and starts listing off all of John's achievements, and he says that she's right and maybe he's crazy for making the most of it. Kate says it sounds like an easy way to get his heart broken. And he says he does it to protect himself with kick-ass dance moves. And so they start dancing, and Kate is very obviously having a great time, and she's kind of maybe just a little bit actually falling for John Tucker.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
Why would you fall for that?
Why would you fall for that?
When we are done with the plot, I just... tripped into the IMDb trivia for this movie.
Excellent.
And every last one is gold.
Great.
So. Great. Here we go. Something to look forward to, kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Including the most 2006 sentence ever.
Excellent. So. Yes. I'm ready. I'm so ready. So then they're at school the next day in the AV room where they're supposed to meet up, and the girls are bombarding Kate with questions because obviously they have no idea what happened and they've never been on the boat. So, like, they genuinely are like, what the fuck's going on? Kate elaborates, says it's nice, and that they talked, and it was chill, and the girls are confused because this is very much not like John Tucker. And Carrie says they'll see if John is falling for it at the away game, and Kate kind of hesitates a little bit. And then Brooke notices and accuses Kate of falling for him. And Kate's like, no, I don't like him. And they realize that the only way to figure out what John is thinking is if they can get into his head. So Carrie's solution is to take her camera and go hide in the boys' locker room. In a locker, I might add.
Oh, God.
And then the most high school thing that happens in this entire movie is all the boys come in making fart noises with their armpits.
Yep.
Yep.
And then...
Except for one of them.
Except for sweet, sweet Tommy, who goes, look, Mom, no hands. Actually...
And absolutely rips ass.
Rips ass directly in front of the locker where Carrie is hiding.
Dear God.
And then Tommy asks John Tucker if he's going to be his wingman at the away game, and John says no, he's just going to hang out with Kate. And then Tommy asks if he's going to get with women or act like one. And John says, hey, that's messed up. He tries to defend Kate. And then Tommy asks John if he's tapped that. They're all the boys are accusing him of being whipped. And John says, you don't just pop an 82 Bordeaux just because it's on the shelf, and great things take time. And then they continue to accuse him of being whipped, and John's ego can't take it. And so he stands on a basketball bench and is like, I am not whipped. John Tucker is not whipped. And at the away game, I will be scoring more than baskets. Ugh. And then Tommy starts saying the phrase, uncork it and pork it. And they all start chanting that. And then the scene ends.
Ugh.
And it's gross.
It's real gross.
It's real fucking awful.
It's the worst.
And then we go to science class, and Kate tries to tell Lonely Boy a really stupid joke. And Lonely Boy is giving her the cold shoulder because she's dating John. And he then is like, hey, my old lab partner's back, so I'm going to go back to him. See you later. And Kate is, like, visibly sad.
Yeah.
And Lonely Boy is also visibly sad. And then cut to that evening, and Kate answers the door, and there's a pilot asking for her mom. And Kate says, nope, she's not home, and slams the door in his face.
Well, this is one of the skips we saw earlier in the movie, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the original skips. From
so, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then turns out, you know, MILF's got a date. And Kate says he's probably... And Kate's like, why do you keep going out with guys like this? He's probably in town for a layover and is just looking for someone to lay over. And Kate's mom says... don't talk to me like that. Don't talk about him like that. And then Kate goes on to explain to her mom, it's no wonder that Kate is so messed up because her mom only dates assholes. And her mom says it's none of Kate's business, but it is. Because every time that Kate's mom gets dumped, they move. And Kate points all of this out to her mother, and then her mother basically, without saying so, tells Kate to go fuck herself and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Super good parenting happening.
Healthy. Child-parent relationship.
Way to go, MILF.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So then Kate, and Kate is also leaving for the night to go to the away game. So it's after the away game, the team has won, and Kate asks if they're going too far. And because, again, she's kind of sort of starting to fall for John Tucker, and she's, you know, she's in a bad headspace because of what happened with her mom. And the girls show Kate the video from the locker room, and Kate officially no longer feels bad and says John is going down, takes the bag of lingerie that Brooke Davis brought for her, and goes to change.
Yeah, it is Clothes Over Bros lingerie.
It is. It is indeed. It is very much Clothes Over Bros lingerie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so the next scene, Kate comes out in a really cute red lingerie set, and all the girls are jaws on the floor. Brooke is very bi. And... Carrie tells her she should wear underwear to school. Yep. Heather is impressed, and truly, Brooke has never been hornier. Like,
yep.
Brittany Snow has like a full six pack.
Mm-hmm. She does.
Like, it's insane.
She absolutely does.
Yeah.
100%. So then we're in John's room, and his friend is using his computer, and John gets a video chat from Kate. So John then promptly kicks his friend out. And Kate is in her room in a bathrobe, in a silk bathrobe, and it's really cute. And Kate asks if John's alone and says that she is too, and it's sad because she's lovely, but because we find out she's reading off of a cue card from the other girls, and Brooke misspelled lovely or lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And has to correct herself and is like, I'm so lonely. And John asks if he can keep her company, and Kate says coach is monitoring the halls, so the only way John is gonna get in if he scales the building. John says, it's not going to happen. So Kate flashes him some boob. So he sees that she's wearing this really hot lacy red lingerie set. And he starts to change his mind. And he's about to leave when the girls wave at her and are like, no, 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 there's more, there's more. And they hold up another cue card that has a gift on it. And Kate tells John, I have a present for you. It's under your bed. And there's more lingerie. But it's for John to wear. And John is very, very hesitant, thinks it's weird, and then Kate is like, what, you've never done this before? I didn't realize you were so inexperienced.
And just so we're clear, it is a lacy red thong.
It is.
Yes.
Yes.
It is indeed. And after being called inexperienced, John gets very offended, because once again, this man's ego is so fragile. So incredibly fragile. And he's like, okay, fine. And she bribes him some more, and basically, it's like, you do something for me, I'll do something for you. And takes the robe fully off so he sees the full set. And he's like, but she's like, oh, you know what? Forget it. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. And starts to say goodbye. And then John is like, give me 5 minutes. Then, cut to John scaling the balcony in a towel.
Mm-hmm.
He's shirtless.
Yep. Because,
once again.
Mm-hmm. Finish your drink.
The directors of this movie, knew what they were doing. And we also forgot to mention that Kate told John her room is 3 doors down and she already counted. So John is scaling the balcony is 3 doors down. He goes in through the balcony window, the balcony patio door, and promptly takes the towel off and flops on the bed. But oops, it's the coach's room.
There are screams.
He screams.
He falls off the bed.
Oh, yeah. She grabs him by the ear, takes him out in the hall, starts blowing her whistle.
She's wearing her whistle with her pajamas.
Sure. Yeah. As one does when you're... When you're a gym coach. And she kicks him and she drags him into the hallway in the thong while everyone is watching and taking photos. And everyone's like, oh, my God, ha, ha, ha. Because John has finally been emasculated. And the basketball coach says he's not equipped for this kind of weirdness this close to the playoffs, while literally everyone is watching and snapping photos and taking videos of John Tucker. He makes eye contact with Kate, and Kate is like, oops, I guess it was 4 instead of 3, and then goes to bed.
And still he thinks nothing of that. Like, he fully does not think that was a setup.
No.
He's like, nope. Oh, yeah, honest mistake. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely does not.
Nope.
God.
So then we're back at school. The photo has gone around. Random girls have their butt as a screensaver, according to what he's hearing in the hallway. And then so at basketball practice, John is like, all right, I'm the basketball captain. Let's get things back to normal. Shirts versus skins. Let's go. And he takes off his shirt. Hopefully you have a drink left. And he's wearing the thong again.
Full whale tail.
Oh, yes.
Not just showing it off. Not just wearing it. Fully.
Wearing it off. His friend
is like... He's like doing the Manny in Degrassi whale tail situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And his friends are like, dude, what the fuck? And he basically, like... to John's credit, he does handle this with grace.
Man has a future in PR and advertising.
Yes. He absolutely does. Or selling cars. Probably both.
The car salesman is
the
probably.
The car salesman has entered the chat.
Yes.
Wait, is John Tucker Dan Scott?
Oh, no! Is this a prequel to One Tree Hill?
Oh, my God.
It might be.
Is Kate Karen?
No.
No.
No, because she doesn't end up with him.
She ends up with the younger brother.
With the brother.
She ends up with the brother.
But the younger brother.
That's true.
That's true.
So.
Ooh, sorry, weird metaverse.
Ugh, don't like it. Anyway, so all the boys are like, at first they're judging John because he's wearing the thong. And then he's like, no, you should try it. It's like letting your best friend sleep in a silk hammock because they're breezy, they don't bind, and they give you just enough swing. And just to prove all of this, he does a basketball trick and does a slam dunk. And to prove his point, he does all of this. And there's all these girls looking on. So suddenly, we get a voiceover from Kate saying, remember there are consequences to your actions. Because now, all of the boys at school are wearing thongs.
Yes.
And not just wearing them, but, like, whale tailing it, like we said. Every single one of them wearing it with it out. It's very Regina George getting the boobs cut out of her t-shirt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is the vibe we're going for, but with men. Mm-hmm. And it's... And honestly, while we love this, you know, really nice sex-positive school in 2006, it's not great.
No.
It's not great. And the girls are like, this is bullshit. And Brooke is like, I'd hit him with my car if he wouldn't make a body cast a fashion statement. So then John Tucker catches up to Kate and apologizes for the other night. And she's being very, very cold to him. And she says something about, well, now everyone knows Victoria's Secret. And John says, you know, Tommy thinks we should make it a birthday theme, roll with it, call it Not That Same Old Thong and Dance, which was very funny.
Very good.
Very good fun. Loved it. And Kate's kind of still blowing him off, and he's like, what the hell did I do? And she calls him out on what he said in the locker room and calls him a pig, so he doesn't sound so whipped. And John is like, I'm trying really hard, but I'm out of place. What do I do now? So then he decides to give her his watch so everyone knows he's whipped, and then asks Kate to be his girlfriend.
Yeah. After giving a line that would not become problematic until 2016 when he says, it's just locker room talk.
What?
16. Oh, yeah. Boy.
Ooh. 10 years later.
10 years later.
Blit.
God.
Oh, boy. So, we're back in the AV room, Kate's wearing the watch, and all the girls are like, oh my god, what the fuck? Like, this is huge. He never made any of us his girlfriend. What's going on? And then they're like, oh my god, you love him. This is bullshit, because at the end of the day, all the girls are still mad because they're not over John.
Obviously.
And this was not supposed to happen. And then they're like, well, you're nothing without us. John only likes you because of what we made you. And they all start fighting because they're jealous of Kate. And then they're like, well, you're either against John and with them, or you're with John. And Kate's like, this is bullshit. And it's like, no matter what, it's all about John because you guys are obsessed with him, whether it's destroying him or dating him. And then she walks out.
Yeah, fair point.
Mm-hmm. So she storms out, and they obviously didn't talk about timing out their leaving because Kate walks out, and then not 2 minutes later, the other three girls walk out together. And Lonely Boy sees them all. And so he catches up with Kate and is like, oh yeah, nice watch. And she kind of gets all sheepish and stuff because she actually likes Lonely Boy. And then he asks her, he's like, I'm really confused because I just saw Heather, Carrie, and Brooke Davis come out of the AV room together, which is really fucking weird because they hate each other and they're not friends. And then he proceeds to tell Kate, and this is where we do get some really nice brotherly moments, because clearly John and Lonely Boy are not close. Mm-hmm. But there's still some defending going on here, because Lonely Boy tells Kate that she's just turned in the rest of them because she fell for John, and Kate says she didn't, and it's not like that. And then Lonely Boy realizes they're playing his brother. And then he tells her, do you know why John fell for you? Because he thinks it's the most honest relationship he's ever had. And Kate, you know, defends herself and is like, you know what, John's gonna John. And Lonely Boy is like, yeah, everyone knows that. And yet people still want to date him. And he lies to girls to get to them to fall for him. And he can't imagine someone who would do that. And Kate feels bad. Then at home, Kate enters her kitchen and says, Mom, there's frosting here with a cake under it. And then the MILF explains that she said skip home. And she apologizes to Kate. They have a really nice mother-daughter moment. Kate admits that she got in too deep with this whole John Tucker thing, and she doesn't know who her real friends are. And her mom does the first real mom parenting thing she's done this entire movie, and it's like, maybe you should just be yourself.
Yeah.
So now we're at John's birthday party. And it is exactly as everyone described, complete with live band people in planes playing. And this
was this a band? Like a real
this
band?
This is a real band. Okay. I googled it. It was in fact a real band.
Okay.
And then Carrie shows up. She's looking for Tommy because she and Heather and Brooke Davis have a present for John. Because despite the fact that they're no longer speaking to Kate, they're still gonna go through with this plan. Because if they can't have John, nobody can, so fuck Kate.
Yep. mm-hmm. I mean, that was kind of their plan to begin with, right? Like, they were never really friends with her. They just needed her because she was fresh meat.
Yes. Right, exactly. 100%. And so the band finishes playing. Tommy pulls John on the stage for the toast, and it includes two hot girls coming out of a cake to spank John Tucker. And while everyone is singing, Carrie gives the video to Tommy. Cut to the video, and it seems like a very normal happy birthday video. And John sees Kate in the crowd because she kind of snuck in the back and pulls her on stage to wish him a happy birthday in front of everybody. And Kate's like, no, 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 that's not why I'm here. John, I need to talk to you. And then this birthday video turns into footage of Kate and John Tucker. And it's getting interspersed with all these things. And we hear John asking Kate to be his girlfriend. And then everyone's like, oh, this is so sweet. She did this nice video for John's birthday. And then we cut to the clip that Carrie took at the beginning of the movie of Kate saying, John Tucker, there's only one guy out there for me and you are not him. Mm-hmm. And then John kind of realizes what's happening. And Kate tells John, without using the microphone, that she's been pretending to be a bunch of things that she's not, so he'd fall for her. And someone's like, no, no, use the mic. What's going on? And so
she uses the mic.
She uses the mic, finishes explaining herself, and says, you know, like, we did this to break your heart so you'd know what it felt like. And he congratulates her and says, well, you pulled it off. And Kate gives him the watch. Everyone starts booing. And they're booing her because she dumped John Tucker at his birthday. Someone throws a drink at her. And then the other three girls find their fucking hearts and are like, oh, what the fuck? No, no, no. And they jump on stage to defend Kate and are like, you're all a bunch of hypocrites because they're booing Kate for lying like no one else has ever lied before. This is bullshit. And then they all get drinks thrown at them. And John does the most halfway decent thing he's done this entire movie. And he takes the mic and says, no, they're right. He lies and says whatever he needs to get girls and admits it's wrong. And all these dudes are like, yeah, but it's awesome, bro, blah, blah, blah. And he tries to correct them and be like, no, 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 it's not. It's not cool. And they're like, yeah, no, but you got there's nothing wrong getting the finest girls in school. And everyone starts cheering. And then John kind of looks at the girls like, what can you do? And then Kate takes some of the cake and promptly throws it at John, which he deserves for that. And then an entire food fight breaks out while an emo punk cover of Time After Time by Wilson Phillips starts playing. And that was incredible.
Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper. They really, the one thing about the soundtrack is there are not one but two male punk covers of iconic female 80s songs in this movie, because there's also Hit Me With Your Best Shot earlier.
That's
covered
right.
by men.
That's right.
And I'm like, why are you taking these ladies' songs? Just, you know.
Because it's not about them. It's about John.
Ugh, fuck John.
I know. Yeah, we know. So, it's presumably the Monday after John's party now, and Kate catches up with John and tells him that he looks clean. Because they were covered in cake the last time she saw him. And she apologizes for throwing the cake. And he stops her and says he deserved it. And he's going to start telling the truth. And they try to hug and smash their heads together. So they shake hands. Then in the hallway, Kate runs into the girls. Or Kate is walking with the girls because they're now actually friends. They're all very good friends now. And there's a voiceover from Kate saying it took 12 bottles of shampoo and 3 days to get the shrimp cake out of their hair. And they're intercepted by Lonely Boy, who tells Kate that things didn't work out with his old lab partner after all, and wants to be Kate's lab partner again. And she says, and then says she's perfect before recovering and saying it's because she's not flammable.
He also mentioned that he injured his shop partner with the bandsaw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is how. Unless you are forcing someone's hand into the blade.
Well, I think he was kidding.
Because, I understand he was kidding, but
it was for the joke.
Yeah, but like in my head, I'm like,
how do you? Oh. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot there.
Yeah, he was totally doing it for the joke and for the gag.
Yeah.
For Talal's.
For the lols.
In 2006 speak.
Yes. And then, so after Lonely Boy is gone, they corner her. They corner Kate and are like, oh my god, you totally like him. And then, like, oh, let's start planning. And then they start planning to help her. And Kate is like, no, I'm done. Let's just hang out tonight. Chill. And then the voiceover continues and she says that John never lied to another girl again and is talking to his girlfriend, Jennifer, and then introduces her to Jill, his other girlfriend, and says that he thinks that they can make it work.
Yep.
Both and the girls two girls are both like, what?
They're both
the
like,
fuck?
Not into it. Absolutely not. And then
John was single by the end of the day.
But you gotta admit, at least he's trying.
He's trying
to be honest. I give him props for that.
Yeah, he is being honest. He's telling the truth that he has two girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And then it ends with a close-up on Kate, and it says, and the girl who broke John Tucker's heart, she became a legend. And then it rolls to the credits with Kate surrounded by new friends. However, the credits quickly stop, and Kate once again is like, by the way, if you try, don't try this at home, because once again, there are consequences to your actions, and there's a female teacher, and she drops all her stuff, and then suddenly, we figure out that all of the male teachers are also wearing thongs. Because they bend over to help this woman pick up her stuff, mm-hmm. and Kate and the girls see the thongs, are completely grossed out. They all start laughing, and then they go on their way to class.
This is the portion of the drinking game where you do get alcohol poisoning. Uh-huh. And you take a shot for every yep. whale tail you see.
Yep.
Yes.
Dear God.
So that ends the wonderful 2006 movie, John Tucker Must Die.
Oh.
What did we think?
Hot garbage.
It is so bad, but it's good in its badness. Like, is it cinematic masterpiece? No. Is it 2006 nostalgia in a 90-minute can? Abso-friggin-lutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will say, it's not, like, the worst acted movie on the planet. It's the worst writing on the planet. And the worst plot on the planet. But I enjoy all of the characters.
I mean, I will say, I like the idea behind the movie.
Yes.
Of getting even with this guy who has fucked all these girls over.
Yes.
Like, I do love that about the movie. I love the idea of flipping it on its head of this guy is a piece of shit. And instead of us, like, taking it, sitting down, we're going to get back at him. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love... you know, the friendship that the girls end up having. I do think that the comedic timing for all four women is fantastic in this movie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They do a really great job hitting those comedic notes.
And the chemistry between the four of them are really good together. You believe that they are separate cliques completely. Yeah. And then when they come together, by the end, they do mesh and they all seem like they are best buddies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And I think, too, you know, it's like... it's, like you said, it's peak 2006 nostalgia because, I mean, I was, when this movie came out, it was 2006, so I was 15.
I was 16.
Yeah, I was a junior in high school.
Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I feel like this was probably one of the last, and I use this word good for the times, one of the last good chick flicks that came out, to my recollection.
Yeah, it was definitely... kind of the end of this era of high school
rom-com aimed at young girls, which I looked in my research of the stuff. I remember the movie marketed itself specifically to teenage girls.
It did
not gross a shit ton, but what it did was the percentage of people who went, like, it was like a 90% were ages 25 and younger, and 75% of that was girls.
Yeah.
Oh,
and absolutely. So it accomplished its feat. It was a box office hit.
Yeah, it said $41 million is how much it grossed in US and Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the IMDb trivia is actually director Betty Thomas told the cast this movie was a first wives club for teenagers. Sophia Bush decided her character was the Goldie Hawn of the group.
This makes total sense now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it more through that lens.
Through that lens of it being a teenage First Wives Club. I totally get that now.
Yeah.
I love that.
I don't think I've seen First Wives Club.
It's so good.
We will fix that.
Yes, we'll fix it. We will fix that. I've heard it's very good.
Brody, the very first trivia on IMDb is for you. Ariel Keble
improvised the line "slut in truck."
Yes, comedic genius Ariel Krebel with "slut in truck."
Excellent.
Yes,
love that for her.
And then the most 2006 sentence that has ever been committed to the internet. While shooting, the sound of the extras' flip-flops proved too distracting, so director Betty Thomas made most of them change into tennis shoes.
That is...
Oh my god, I love it so much!
That is fucking incredible.
That's the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh my god.
The extras' flip-flops. Yep, that would make sense.
That is the most 2006 sentence that you've ever had.
Yep.
But also, love the fact that it was directed by a woman.
Written by a man, directed by a woman.
Makes total sense.
Yeah. The writer actually has One Tree Hill connections in a roundabout way. He was one of the producers for The Ranch on Netflix, which are lovely, barreled, whitey, whatever his last name is.
Corbin.
Also acted in. So.
Oh, interesting. But yes, what you just said about it being directed by a woman, written by a man, is... completely makes sense, especially with the the basketball scene after he takes the estrogen. Like, you can tell that was not written by a woman trying to figure out how to do an impression of a woman.
Yeah.
It was written by a man telling another man to do his best impression of a woman.
Yeah.
PMS.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, this was peak One Tree Hill time, because this was also like this movie. And then Sophia also did Stay Alive, which came out that same year, that horror movie about a video game. Chad Michael Murray also did House of Wax at that point, which was a huge horror movie at the point. It was like peak. One Tree Hill was peak because it was right after season two, which was the biggest hit ratings-wise for them.
Right.
So it was all of that kind of stuff. And they were all doing a crap ton of movies on their off time before coming back to One Tree Hill.
Yeah. And...
yeah, it's...
And Hillary didn't, because Hillary was too busy at that point going back and forth from New York for TRL.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
She hadn't quit TRL till season three.
That's right.
Yeah. It says Ashanti had multiple concerts she had to perform during the making of the film, and they had to work around Sophia Bush's One Tree Hill shooting schedule.
Wow. Hats off to movie coordinators trying to figure all that, and really any film coordinator, whether it be TV or movie, like trying to figure all that shit out, especially when you have a movie with people who are a household name in it. Yeah. Because that just sounds like my nightmare.
Well, what's funny is we say household name, but I'm pretty sure I looked up, this was like Brittany Snow's first big film, Penn Badgley's first big film. And
when I say household names in terms of this movie, I was not talking about either of those people.
Yeah.
I was talking about Sophia and Ashanti.
Ashanti and Jesse Metcalf.
Yes.
Metcalf.
Well, no, fun fact here too. I just had to look it up. This movie, Jesse Metcalf's feature film debut.
Yeah. And was it after he finished on Desperate Housewives?
Oh, it had to
be. Or did he go into Desperate Housewives after that?
Nope. Desperate Housewives is 04. So he was in it. The credit right now says 04 to 07, but I'm pretty sure he was just in the first season. So that's 04, 05.
Okay.
And then probably got cast in that. So he just finished. Yeah, he just finished it.
So yeah, so at the time, it was those were the household names of this movie.
Yeah.
Was especially for the demographic of this movie.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the demographic of this movie, it was Sophia and Ashanti, and then they brought in Jesse Metcalf to get the moms to take the kids to the movie.
Yes.
Because he was, at the time, every MILF's dream.
Yes, because Ashanti had, I mean, literally, her biggest hits were in 02, 03, and 04.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that was when she was like, I'm going to start acting. And that's when she did. She did a Buffy episode in the last season, which I remember her from. Tries to sacrifice Xander. It's fine. and she also did The Muppet Wizard of Oz.
That's right.
That was her credit she did before. John Tucker. It was released right before that.
That's right.
And then she did John Tucker.
I remember that now.
Can we talk about a very cryptic spoiler or trivia thing? The ending was filmed in two very different ways, but it was decided to end the film on a more upbeat note. It took 12 hours to clean up the set after the first ending. What do we think that first ending was?
I think they probably just ended it at the party.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
But But that's...
That's a weird ending, which is probably why they changed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah. I was wondering if they actually killed him.
No.
No.
I think that they were just like, they'll end it with the food fight, and probably voiceover from Kate being like, well, she became a legend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bad ending.
This has been fun.
Yeah, this was a good one.
This was good.
Yes.
This was a good one. Yep.
I will say, watching the movie, it is not a great movie. But did I still enjoy it
and
enjoy
watching it?
Absolutely, I had a great time.
I had a great
time. Like, literally, Slut and Truck.
Slut in truck!
Gonna be part of the lexicon from now on, kids. So just get ready, slut in truck.
Part of lexicon, putting it on t-shirt.
Yep.
Yep.
That along with whore. Yeah.
No, I feel like I felt about this movie how Caitlin felt about the Christmas movie.
Yeah. That's probably very
accurate. And I enjoyed both of them, so we'll see what the third one is and see if I don't like it like the other ones.
Oh, God.
So.
Do we have any other thoughts, friends?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Well, then that is going to do it for this very, very special Saturday afternoon live episode of on Wednesdays we watch John Tucker Must Die. And thank you guys all for listening. We really, really appreciate it. We recently hit 6,500 downloads, which is huge. Thank you guys so much. It means the world to us. Please don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. Please rate us 5 stars on Apple. It super helps. Please save the podcast to your favorites in Spotify. That helps people find us better. And also tell your friends, because word of mouth is the best advertising you can possibly do. But yeah, that's it for us. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Slut in truck. Slut in truck.